Town of Garner Town Council meeting of May 22nd, 2018.
Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Harshburn?
Present.
Councilmember Behringer?
Here.
Councilmember Johns?
Here.
Councilmember Kennedy?
Here.
And Councilmember Singleton?
Here.
Councilmember Kennedy, leaders in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by an invocation. Please rise.
All rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amazing.
If you would join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, slow us down from some of the mundane things that occupy our time during the course of the day, and bring us together as a body doing the work of the town. We invoke your presence among us tonight. We ask you to endow us with some understanding and patience where we need to, insight where it's beneficial, so that we are able to take directions, do the planning, ultimately take appropriate action that's deemed in the best interest of the town and its citizens. We continue to ask you to watch over not only our immediate family, but loved ones and friends, and particularly folks that have lost loved ones at home and places far away from us that fortunately we've been able to avoid thus far with some of these very tragic killings. We also ask you to protect those that protect us. Give us patience. Give us that insight we ask for according to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Next is petition and comments. Time on the agenda for anyone to address the council on any item that is not on tonight's agenda. Hearing none, the adoption of the agenda.
I'd like to add two items to the agenda that the council so sees fit. Under new and old business, item three would be discussion of the street resurfacing project. We discussed at our last meeting, approved some at our last meeting, and I'd like to go into a closed session for a personnel matter.
Second.
All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Presentation, proclamation recognizing National Public Works Week. Council member Jackie Johns is going to read the proclamation and present it to Forrest Holmes, Public Works Director. Jackie. He wants you to go down there, I believe.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Proclamation. Whereas public works service provide in our community are in genuine part of our citizen everyday life, and whereas the support of the understanding and informed citizen is vital to the efficient operation of the public work system and program, such as water, sewage, streets, public buildings, solid waste collection, and snow removal, and whereas the health, safety, and comfort of the community greatly depend on these facilities and services, and whereas and quality and efficiency of the facilities, as well as their planning, design, and construction are vital, depend upon the efficient and the safety and public work personnel, and whereas the efficiency of the qualified and dedicated personnel who staff public works depend is materially influenced by the people, attitude, and understanding of the importance of the work they perform. Now, therefore, I, Ronnie S. Williams, Mayor of the Town of Garner, do hereby proclaim the week of May 20 through the 26th, 2018 as National Public Works Week in the town of Garner, California. All citizens and civic organizations to acquaint themselves with the issues involved and provide our public work service and to recognize the contributions public work officials make every day to our health, safety, and safety and quality of life. Presented this day by Ron S. Williams, the mayor of the town of Garner.
And Brother Johnson.
Let's give him a hand.
Just want to take a quick moment and say thank you, Mayor and member of the council, for giving us this proclamation recognizing this is National Public Works Week here in Garner. The American Public Works Association has been sponsoring this week since 1960. We are over 30,000 members strong across the United States of America as well as Canada. So we're very proud to be a part of that organization and continuing this tradition. This week is National Public Works Week. Most of you should have received an invitation already out to our event this week, but we'll celebrate on Thursday, May 24th, with some fun, friendly competition and some games and activities we'll have. We'll start that morning off at 8:30, and then we'll have a lunch there at noon, and we'll recognize our Public Works Employee of the Year. We'll be announcing that at that time as well and giving out a few other recognitions as well. So we'd encourage you, if you're able, to come out and join us that day. And then we'll finish out the afternoon with some more competition. So certainly looking forward to it and thanking you for taking the time to recognize us in this way.
Thank you very much. All right, next is the consent agenda. Move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion made and second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Next is the public hearing. Recommended budget hearing, Mike Franks, calling for this time to see comments. I'm hoping it's a public hearing.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So just some housekeeping to start. Everybody should have received a packet of budget-related information. That would include this PowerPoint as well as the printed-out version of the capital improvement plan and all the question and answers that we have thus far. So that would be in a packet of all your chairs. A couple other notes on the FY18, FY19 budget. I'm just going to provide a quick summary tonight. We'll be having the budget work session tomorrow, at which point we'll go in-depth on all the different budget-related items. In addition, we'll be putting out an online version, so we'll basically take out a PowerPoint, and somebody will narrate it, somebody, me or somebody with a better voice, and put that out for the public so they can get a feel of what's in the budget. And then on June 4th, we'll be having an additional public hearing, at which point anybody who hasn't had a chance to fully digest the budget or wasn't able to make it tonight can come and make a comment. So with that, we'll get started. The recommended budget does not include property tax increase. It includes an increase of 1.7, almost 1.7 or 5.1% in revenue and expenditures. Does include 6 new positions. And while there was a lot of good news, we did have to make some tough decisions. The budget does include reductions of almost $210,000 and unfunded decision packages of almost $1.1 million. So there is some built-up demand that we're still not able to meet. The revenue summary, just some high-level notes. Property taxes did go up 4.6% this year. And as I already mentioned, there was no property tax rate increase. It's all just based on growth within the market, residential and commercial. The permit and fees category did decrease significantly, but that was due to us no longer collecting the water, sewer capacity, or acres fees. And there was actually good news within that category as well. Building permit fees are increasing $250,000 over last year's budget, so we are projecting an additional increase in the residential commercial markets with that activity. And then just one other item of note, we do have an increase of $250,000 in interest income, and that's not necessarily anything that the town is doing. That's just global market conditions driving up interest rates.
What was that point again, Mike? I'm having trouble here.
Oh, sorry. Which point about interest rates or
interest earnings?
Yeah, that's nothing necessarily the town is doing. It's just interest rates within on the global scale are increasing, so the town's collecting more interest income.
Okay.
We were able to fund several different decision packages. This summarizes the positions that were funded. So we did increase the budget $159,000 for some public works positions. And these positions will address stand-up controls issues as noted in FY16, FY17, pay and class study, and will also enhance the town maintenance programs and emergency response capabilities. $130,000 for parks, recreation, and cultural resource positions, and these are the positions that are required to staff the new recreation center. Almost $115,000 for a school resource officer. South Garner High School will be opening in the fall of 2018, so a school resource officer is required. And then a little over $69,000 for a training officer in the police department, and this will allow them to attract and retain recruits better and also to enhance their training programs for state-mandated requirements. Some additional decision packages that were funded on the operating side. So $100,000 is for the FY18, FY19 funding increment for the Unified Development Ordinance. So we funded this for $50,000 last year. It's $100,000 this year and then $50,000 next year for the full project. $25,000 for rebuilding together at the Triangle. This is a program that the town's been involved with in the past that helps low-income individuals maintain their homes. So we're continuing that partnership within this year's budget. Almost $25,000 for technology-related requirements in the finance department. Some grant match requirements in the police department. A little over $14,000 for the city's Raleigh Utility Bill Assistance Program. And this is a program that we've partnered with in the past that helps low-income residents within the town pay their utility bills. And then $8,000 is for part-time pay adjustments. And this is for some folks that have been here for a long time in temporary positions or seasonal positions. So this would give them a pay increase that they haven't gotten previously. So with that, just highlighting the budget schedule again, on May 23rd, so tomorrow, we'll have the budget work session, and this will begin at 8:30, being the training room upstairs for anybody that wants to attend. On June 4th, we'll have the recommended budget public hearing, so do this again. On the 19th, it's the proposed council adoption, and then on August 15th, hopefully we'll be releasing, or we definitely will be releasing the adopted budget book and budget brief. So with that, I'll take any questions.
We're supposed to receive comments.
Yeah. One question. Where you had the six new employees, are they replacement or new jobs?
Those are new positions. So net new. So, yeah, new positions.
Anyone else? Okay, I'll close the public hearing. New and old business, refresher of Garner Forward, Mr. David Bamford. Come forward, David.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council.
Good evening.
I'm here tonight to receive any questions or comments you have for the Garner Ford project in advance of the public hearing. So I will be sending comments to the consultant in the next few days in order for them to make edits to the final drafts of both the comprehensive plan and the transportation plan. And the comprehensive plan primarily focuses on future land use. And the transportation plan, its focus is on transportation, new roads, connectivity, bike and ped, sidewalks, and greenways. This slide has been in your packets, I think, the last two times. And this is just a chart showing the participation and involvement that we've had with the Garner Ford project. We've had, on the left column, we've had several public participation meetings from stakeholders to presentations at the Chamber of Commerce, public surveys, workshops. We did do a presentation to the GEDC Advisory Board last year. We've had a couple public open houses. The Planning Commission has also had extensive review of both plans. They have recommended approval at their April 9th meeting. And Council has seen this plan at least on three different meetings. We've also had a steering committee that was actively involved, and they met for seven times. And I'll be happy to answer questions or receive comments. I have all the information available that we can pull up on the screen. If you would like to focus on any particular topic or item from either the transportation plan or the comprehensive plan.
Just a comment and a question or two, maybe, David. First of all, I'd like to thank you and all the team members who worked on that. And I believe, am I right, that Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Singleton were the council liaisons to this committee? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. They were members of the steering committee.
Yes. Sort of a curiosity question. I noticed that as one of the statistics or demographics, whatever you want to call it, that only about 6% of our population live and work in the inside of the town. I don't know if the committee how this compares with other towns in Wake County. To me, that seems like sort of a low number of people who actually live and work here. Do you know how that relates to other towns around us?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not have that information. That's something we'll be glad that we can ask the consultant.
I don't consider it.
That was probably in the comprehensive plan, I assume, where we get into that information.
Yes. Okay. It was in there. I'll defer to others for right now. I think I have one other question, but I want to find where I jotted it down.
Anyone else?
A couple of comments. The last two meetings we had, the steering committee, I failed to do as good a job as I've done in the past, but there were 7 months in between, and there were some major rewrites. And it was like for me starting over again, and it's just hard to generate some interest. But that's more on me than it is on anybody else. But it took a while to get it because I think we were trying some new concepts, and that's one of the things I've got some generic questions about. But also on from a personal bias, it seemed like there was some. The perception is we've got some things in there that maybe it's being recommended. I'll say like the bike lanes and trimming portion of Aversboro down from four lanes to two lanes. I'm not sure if that's something that's truly recommended or is that. That's an idea to float out there, and it winds up being. I think that we could use your explanation. And when we adopt this, and it's got page after page of capital items, ranging from a few thousand to a few million, all on the same page, we're not adopting them and saying we are going to do them. I'm assuming that's each of those items, as I've said it plenty of times. Each one of those items, that'll be vetted when it comes time for it. But let's go back to the bike lanes and converting a four-lane street to a two-lane street. What was the name of that? Was that the neighborhood? What did they call that?
It was called a Great Street Concept. And Aversboro Road was the example that was picked for that type of concept to have the four lanes reduced down to two, have bicycle lanes on each side, include some landscaped medians in the center so that it would have facilities for different types of travel, to walk, to bike, and to drive. And so some of the comments that we received through the public meetings, we had some that did not think that was a good idea for Averysboro Lane, and others thought that it was. So, but we want to stress that there's no plan to specifically do it on Averysboro, but Averysboro was an example of what could be done. And the consultant called that low-hanging fruit, meaning it would not cost a lot of money to make those improvements. If Averysboro Road, if there's no community or council interest in making improvements to Averysboro Road, that concept could be applied to other roads in town or new roads that would be built as part of development. So,
also struck me that instead of doing it from Timber Drive north up to 7th Avenue, what if it was done from Timber Drive south to Buffalo Road? And that might discourage and slow down some traffic and divert some traffic that's using that as just as a quick route to get, and we've had a whole lot of complaints. I don't think, I'm not here to debate that tonight, but the thought is it may have its uses in a reverse way, because that is that area is probably is predominantly residential, and it would be a kind of a, could be a rather beautiful area, but I'll just leave that with, for food for thought. Now, it seems like that we've gone a long time and with loud mouths like myself have, I see bike lanes as spending a lot of money for a very small portion of the population. And then I don't hear many accidents, but is that just something that we just need to wrap our arms around and get used to the idea it's coming? Because if we don't have it, then the people that want it, they just won't come here. Is it that simple, or what's your best advice to us, David?
I'm going to let Jeff probably answer that. I do know that that some of the feedback that we received through some of the public comments and meetings that we've had, that there is interest in having more opportunities for bicycle lanes in Garner. Several years back, we added the share of the road signs around town, but those didn't really include any type of safe lanes for bicyclists to use. I know other communities like Raleigh and different places are adding those lanes, and that's just something that I guess that was identified through the consultant review is something that Garner lacks, and so that's something that was recommended.
Are we just being hard-headed?
I think I would offer a couple of observations. One, the first being that I think if we were to actually quantify where we could put striped lanes, and keep in mind, just because you don't have to always have striped lanes, but if we were, we probably have a lot more pavement and miles of pavement than anybody might be aware that's already suitable. I think it's important that we at least establish, and that's kind of what Garner's been doing for a number of years already, is you establish the curb line so that you have the flexibility in the future to do some things. whether it's a neighbor's borough road, you decide to restripe it, or any other road for that matter. I mean, that's kind of what Raleigh has done. They haven't added pavement to accommodate these bike lanes. They've worked with what they already have between front of curb to front of curb. So I think it's important for Garner to, and I think we heard that from certain sectors of Garner's residents, that that's something to keep in mind for the future, whether you stripe everything or whether you just make it a little bit wider to accommodate them a little more easily, or whatever the case may be, at least those opportunities are there. And if at some point, like Raleigh has done recently, you decide to go on a major program to really stripe and mark things because you have a substantial population that wants that, then at least you can do that, and there's relatively little cost involved to do so.
That's a very interesting observation about the streets that we have now. That's probably was spoken to during some of our meetings, but that's a good place to start from. It's nice to have that. One is to make us aware of it. Maybe I can remember it this time. And second of all, that it's not the end of the world when it comes to financing it, because that is a concern. It finally dawned on me that it was did you call it the Aversboro Road? Was that the Great Street? I know of one place that has done put in the median, a lot of plantings, trees on each side, narrowed it down to a single lane, each way. Probably the right of way is, my guess is probably 80 feet, might be as much as 100. Sidewalks on both sides, trees between the back of curb and the sidewalk, and I can just see the curb just, and but maybe they chose the right kind of trees, they wouldn't have the root system. But the first thing I noticed there is with the bike lanes, they dropped speed also, and I'm not sure if it was a coincidence or just happened to be that way. But they dropped the speed limit down to 35, and it was higher on, it had gone from a four lane, and then they narrowed it down and on a rather busy street, and, it was for about a mile long, and it slows down traffic, and it makes it a whole lot safer for the biking folks. So, I reckon that was part of the design concept. If it's going to go slow enough that you can look at it as well as protect the bikers. But, let me jump over to a couple of other things. We're changing some strategy on, what we call, how we designate some land use areas. And I know we're, is that just going to take us a little bit of time to, get used to the new nomenclature, and will it slow down some of our rezonings, and or will we be going along business as usual? I think you and Jeff have had a kind of a special interest in overhauling some basic concepts. Could you highlight what that overhaul is again for us, and give us some a warm and fuzzy feeling that it won't. The medicine is not going. The cure is going to be a whole lot better than the medicine we're going to have to swallow to get adjusted to it.
Sure. One of the things we wanted to do with the Garner Forward land use map was try to fix some of the problems and confusion of the 2006 future long range plan map. The current map from 2006. It's very confusing to read and interpret. There's circles and nodes that overlap. It was very difficult to interpret in some cases what the recommendations were as far as density and recommended zoning districts. The 2006 future land use map was not parcel based. It just had some circles and zones. What we wanted to do with the corner four map was have it parcel based, where you could look at a piece of land and know exactly what the recommendations are. And that's kind of what we have done. So there's no missing gaps. There's no any confusion. So every color that is shown represents a recommended future land use. For example, on this map, we've got the light purple. That's future land use would be light industrial. The kind of the red, dark pink would be corridor commercial. The light yellow or light brown would be medium density, 2.5 to 5 units an acre. So this will actually improve things moving forward as we deal with landowners, developers, real estate agents that look at pieces of land and ask, you know, what's the future recommendations are. This will help us to better answer that question. So this will not slow down anything. It will improve things.
That leads me to consider this. This seems to be more, it sounds like you're leading more to this is when somebody comes in and looks at land use and has to consider whether I've got to rezone or that issue. It looks like this is more prescriptive as opposed to interpretive. So it speaks plainer and easier as opposed to having to go through an interpretation and negotiation and back and forth and jockeying around. So, or is that a oversimplification?
So the map itself doesn't have all the detail or the detailed description for each category, but we will have a separate section in the comprehensive plan that has each future land use category with a short paragraph that describes what the town recommends. So, for instance, medium density residential, it describes the type of developments that would be appropriate: single family, duplex, triplex, quadplex, and townhomes. So it describes the type of development. Garden apartments are not part of this category. And it also describes the recommended density, 2.5 to 5 units an acre. We also have a very important sentence here is that this will be context sensitive. So while a large part of Garner is shaded medium density residential, that does not mean a duplex or a triplex would be appropriate fit for any place on the map. We would look at the context, the development patterns in the area. To give you an example, the downtown area near Main Street, west of New Rand Road, you do have a mix of some single-family homes and duplexes in that area. So it'd be an area like that where you might see a duplex use be appropriate for that area, but not appropriate for an area that's predominantly single-family. So the land use descriptions are intended to be clear as to what type of development, what the density recommendations are. That's for the residential categories. For the commercial, we talk about connectivity, we talk about uses, we talk about walking distances and things kind of like that. So not only do we have the map and the categories, we also have some detailed descriptions of what those categories are.
Were there any consequences that were that you went in with? I'm sure you had the professional objectives, and there were certain things that you knew that you wouldn't bore us with the details of trying to get straightened out and make life easier, and for not only from the town, from the regulatory side, but from the development community. But did you wind up with going in with in one direction, and all of a sudden we had some other consequences, and I'm going to concentrate on the positive
but unintended consequences. Were there any surprises that had really worked out well as a result of the study? Did you get more out of it in places than you thought you were going to get?
Are you talking about the future land use map?
Or any of it. In general? Yeah, I mean, it didn't have to be. I was just wondering if there's something that popped up.
If anything, I think that with the current comprehensive plan, I think almost any development that comes in the door has to go through some type of interpretation process. There's very little that doesn't require at least three of us to kind of put our heads together and make sure that we're all on the same page. If anything, I think this land use map will enable some of the planners on our staff that are more on the front lines to more clearly answer some questions, and there will be less of a need for us to always get the whole group together to kind of make a decision. So I think in that regard, it is moving us somewhat in a better direction.
The last comment is it's good that we've got a planning staff that's young. We're going to have some new plans here, and then with a UDO, and maybe we can look forward to having somebody here just for a while that's going to be able to interpret that and see some of the benefits from it realized. This has been a long process, but I think you all have been knee deep in it up to your armpits, and which is good, and you're getting it about as clean and professionally done as possible. And thank you for your stick-to-itiveness and efforts to finally bring it to a conclusion. I'm not going to suggest any specific changes. We'll just wait to get it adopted and see the first developments come through. And then you remind us how easy it is that going forward.
That and it is a living document, so you know it's meant to be adjusted from time to time. So we'll cross those when we need to.
Okay, anyone else?
I do like the map where you can go to each parcel. Where you change that and identify when someone comes in. It's a fast, efficient way for people to know what the land is zoning classifications are for all the properties. I do like that. I like the sidewalk project information table we have here. I may not agree with all the order. I do like the fact we're talking about these sidewalks again and again and again that are so far behind. So I do appreciate that. I have some concerns. Mr. Kennedy talking on the great street concept or the complete street concept. I'm not sold on that at all. I think it's a fad. Not every street needs to be a great street. In Raleigh, they're using the same pavement, but they're making the travel lanes narrower when they do that. It does not create a safer environment for the cyclist. It makes it dangerous, more dangerous. I've been on too many streets in Raleigh where the lane was not the bike lane, what lane you're narrowing the lane, and you're making it more dangerous. I just don't think that's, in the long run, I don't know if that'll prove to be a smooth move. I take one example. I told some of you this. When we had one of our workshops over the GPAC, and we're talking different tables, you moved around. There was a couple guys there from two of the Triangle Transportation Organizations, super cyclists, avid cyclists. They were talking, and Hillsborough Street had just finished and it was opened up. And they were asked what they thought of it, and they said they both hated it. And they were going, please tell me, why is this too busy? It's not a good concept for Hillsborough Street. I said, why? I said, because you made it, you narrowed the lanes, you put the lane here and the parking here. They said, do you know the few times I rode it, I'm almost hit every time I saw someone open the car door in the parking. And the people have to park, don't care if you're on the bike, they're going to back their car into that parking space. I said, the concept does not work everywhere. And they said, they skipped over a couple blocks and drove down Park Avenue, and as far as they could until they got back to Hillsborough. This concept is sounds good, but it doesn't work everywhere. And I think it's a fad. I think really do. My concern about cyclists, and I'm not anti-cyclists at all, is you make all these changes for I said again, a very fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 1% of the people who use bikes. And that's the concern. And then you have streets that have bike lanes, and they turn into a street that doesn't. So you're setting the cyclist up. You know, okay, this is safer here because you have a designated bike lane, but then they turn onto a road that doesn't have it. So where are we, I mean, are we not steering them, and not just in Garner, but everywhere, steering them in a more dangerous situation? I'm not sold on that. I don't think you need to mess with Ayersville Road. I just put grass down with a road that works. Plus, there's other things on Ayersville that are unique to Ayersville because there's three or four businesses that were approved there back in the 70s that don't have adequate parking for truck deliveries, and they park in one lane of Ayersville because they have to. They have no parking lot where they can park. What are you going to do if you close it to one lane? I mean, you can't make them make their parking lot bigger. Their lots are already configured in such a way that they can't make the deliveries. It's not the ideal road. Maybe Mr. Kennedy said going back the other way may help. I love sidewalks. I like having wide lanes, 10-foot travel lanes for people to walk and bike on. I think it's much safer for cyclists, but that's just my opinion. But I just not a great street concept. I think it's a fad. I think 20 years people say, what the heck were we thinking? The opportunity sites, I think, are very intriguing. Let me draw back to the opportunity sites, and most of them, the town or municipality that doesn't own any of the property, and you've got to get someone to buy in on all that, and someone to spend a lot of money in some cases from a development standpoint. And so I think they're interesting. I don't know what may or may not happen with any of them. They're opportunities, but again, you got to get the right person there, the right developers there. And we'll just have to see if that even comes to fruition. And we touched on great streets complete streets or whatever. I'm more concerned about getting the streets we got paved or resurfaced than I am about creating great streets and complete streets. And we'll touch on that in a moment. I can get on a good rant there. But I'm more worried about taking care of the roads we got and adding new ones or restriping the ones we got. I'd rather spend that money to improve the infrastructure we currently have in place. So anyway, so it's been going on almost 2 years, so y'all got a lot of time sunk into it, and there's some interesting things in it. Again, we'll see how this comes to fruition in the years to come, but I do like some of the parts of it, some parts of it I'm not jumping up and down about, but I know you all have cleaned up a lot of stuff. You filtered a lot of stuff and cleaned it up and made it designated, and I think you had a couple instances where the proposed zoning changes and persons may have affected what they could do different than what they could do before. I think in the I see Jeff shaking his head in the ETJ, I think a couple instances we've had, and I think y'all try to work with people and help them. So I think you'll continue to do that. So I do appreciate your time on working this, and I'm sure on the subcommittee could make the last two meetings, but appreciate the work that's been done.
Just I found a couple other things that I wanted to ask a question about or make a comment on. I'm looking on page 68 of what was the comprehensive plans I had. It has to do with working places. I guess we're all influenced either by personal experience or as we travel and see other kinds of workspaces. It appears to me that, the old traditional office building with a person renting some offices with four walls, if you're lucky, a window and a door, is changing. I'm influenced some by what I see, even with my son-in-law out in Colorado where he's working. We first started, I'm trying to remember how the deal worked, but it was a sort of an old warehouse building that had been renovated, and so workers would come in. They could either share a space or use a conference room if they scheduled in advance, but he certainly didn't have a traditional office. And I notice on this page you talk about co-working. I don't know if that's part of it. Or it also mentions in one of the bulleted items, take advantage of working place trends. But I don't know how much time the committee spent on that, but it certainly seems to me that with the younger generation, we often refer to them as millennials and maybe others, that their views about the need for regular office space seems to be different. And I'm just wondering if you care to comment on that or if any of the committee members spend much time on some of these new trends and whether or not we as a town ought to think a little bit more in that arena. I know we're in the process, or somebody's in the process of building what looks like more traditional office spaces out on Timber Drive East, which is probably a good thing. But
there may be future demands for not so much traditional office space, but some of this other type of office space. Somewhere in there was a question, or I guess a comment, but
yeah. I mean, that's one thing that was identified through the consultants' study of trends. Some of these are at the national level, and we're seeing these in other communities in Wake County. And I think this was just identified as something that would be an opportunity for Garner. I'm not sure if you have any additional.
Just since you brought up the Timber Drive office, and David may not be as aware of this, that was something that we actually talked with them about. So I think that it is starting to come up from the developers themselves. In particular, that location there probably isn't quite the right fit, right, because it's not quite close enough to White Oak and some of the other services that are there. But particularly in some of the discussions we've had with Mari and the downtown folks, it is something that they are finding a few people are starting to look for. So we continue to mention it with developers who come in, and I think it is something we will see.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And the other and final comment I'll make has to do under the recreational section. I've heard these something called splash pads. I'm not so personally familiar with them, but again, in a recent visit I made, I had a chance to visit. It was too cold for it to be functional that day, but at any rate, splash pads may be a trend, but it's something that particularly younger children I know enjoy a lot in the summertime, and I'm hopeful that maybe as part of our recreation in the not-too-distant future, that's something we could consider right here in Garner. I know it was mentioned at least. I don't know how much attention it was given.
Okay, look, if you would, could you look at
the land use map?
Look at Mr. Marshall getting trendy. Talk about splash pads. I'm impressed.
Parks and Rec guy.
There you go.
Now, let me say, I mentioned this first time about 10 years ago. So it took you guys a long time to catch up.
You're not been on the splash pad, but we can get more than once. Mr. Marshall, if you can send the grandchildren, kind of opens your eyes to it.
You mean to zoom in to a particular area?
Yeah, the area in front of the Davisboro Village. Caroline. Yes, that you got it. The blue area there that's essentially across from the YMCA. Is that a change in land use? What was it? What is it currently zoned?
So this
yeah.
So this is actually two tracts of land, and the southern portion, I believe, is going to be subdivided in half. But the top piece, which is north of Minglewood and east of Aversboro, this is zoned community retail right now.
And what can go in there?
You can have indoor retail, shopping centers, convenience stores with fuel cells. You could have offices, daycare centers, and I do believe that townhomes are also a permissible use. And then on the south side, this I believe is zoned office and institutional. So the Garner Forward Plan draft right now is showing office use for this larger piece. If a development comes in for a different type of use in the future, let's say commercial retail or townhomes, then that would go through review, possibly a rezoning, and then the plan would be amended if the project got approved. So this is, while this looks like a zoning map because it's at the parcel detail level, it's not intended to be a zoning map. I'm not sure if that answered some of your questions.
I was just wondering. I know you've had, I don't know how many people, you've had a number of people come in and talk about their land and what, and they requested some changes in it that seemed yes, to their best interest. It's I'm assuming you probably had to trying to anticipate what could happen. Is this will? It sounds like this will might change some of the finer points of what might be allowed under the current zoning will be excluded in the future, particularly like if it's residential.
The interesting thing about the current zoning, which the current zoning will override this, as long as it stays in place.
As long as what stays in place?
As long as the zoning doesn't change. So the current zoning, no matter what it is, overrides the plan.
Okay.
So if somebody comes
in. I am confusing this with a zoning map.
So if someone comes in and the use is permitted by the zoning, it would continue to move forward. If somebody comes in and wants to propose something that's not allowed by the current zoning, then we default to this map for guidance. So currently the community retail, something I didn't even understand about it, that particular district until about a month or two ago, is that it does allow for, as David mentioned, townhomes and a few residential uses that you might not think of. So it's a pretty, our idea behind here was to try to pick something that was fairly broad and wouldn't shoehorn any one particular use, to kind of mirror the existing zoning, even though it's community retail, zoning, office institutional, land use. They're both intentionally kind of broad.
The southern one here where Caroline is, even though this is blue and this says office center, I don't view Caroline as office center, but that doesn't cause us any problem about this map. We can leave that southern part blue and be okay and move ahead. Okay.
And just as a reminder, I think I may have mentioned this once before, but in the future, anytime we do have a rezoning that comes up and it's not directly reflected by this map, we will be automatically doing a land use map amendment with the rezoning. Because that's now required.
But we are not rezoning anything. There's a few areas where we've done some, but that's an example. This is not, by this action, we're not rezoning this and plenty of other places. We're trying to match up with what the original use was, unless somebody's made a case to get it changed.
This is just a guide for rezonings going forward.
Thank you.
But to clarify, in going forward, the blue, the community retail, you can allow townhomes, but can you allow multifamily? Here's why. Because years ago, O and I and Garner allowed multifamily, and we denied one, but we got taken to court, so we had to do it because it was allowed. Then we changed it because O and I doesn't sound like multifamily. Community retail doesn't sound like multifamily.
Right.
It shouldn't fall into the category because people said, oh, this is O and I, that won't go there, but it could go there. And then we've changed the UVO, whatever it was called back then. And we shouldn't have a title for a zoning category that something can slip into where you don't think it should slip into. And multifamily should not slip into community retail. Or anything that doesn't sound like multifamily. Multifamily should be multifamily and or a residential type district, but it shouldn't slip into something like that. I just want to make sure that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. When we rewrite the UDO, that would certainly be the intent to make sure that the name accurately reflects the uses that come in under.
Okay.
Because I would agree, community retail. I wouldn't think townhomes either. But I do believe when I looked at the ordinance, when we were talking about that, I think apartments, multifamily, were expressly not allowed, but the townhomes were. So that may be the result of that change back in the day.
Interesting.
Jeff, isn't like some of the new theories on development, when you talk about having multifamily in a commercial district where you would have commercial on the first floor, and then you have multi-level, possibly residential on the second floor, so it will allow for that new type of construction we're seeing all over the place.
Right. And in that case, our zoning districts, I would think, would be appropriately named mixed-use zone to more accurately reflect that true span of uses.
Okay, anyone else?
So what's the next action that's going to happen?
The next action would be the public hearing on June the 19th.
Followed by adoption. Thank you.
Okay, David. And we will also get the consultant to make some edits to the plans. There are some typos in the plans. The table of contents are not correct. They link to the wrong pages. There's different things like that that will be cleaned up. And we will have a cleaned copy available for the public in a week or two.
Thank you, Dave. BD Secker's coming forward to talk about position change.
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. Just over a year ago, the planning department brought before you and you approved a new department reorganization for the planning department. I'm here tonight to give you a quick update and to talk about one last step in the process. So as a result of the reorganization, the planning department, the human resources department, has embarked on filling the new positions that were approved in the reorganization, backfilling positions due to retirements. And one last step that we need to take is to take a current position that has a particular job title and change that job title. This was approved as a part of the reorganization, but we just wanted to provide you with a quick update tonight and remind you that as a result of this particular change, we'll be adding a new job title to our position classification plan. I will update that, and then that will become the new formal document for the positions that council have approved within the town of Garner. So we just wanted to come before you one last time tonight, remind you of the actions that you took a year ago, provide you with an update, let you know that we are at the final step, and just give you that quick update and give you an opportunity to ask any final questions before we close out the planning department reorganization plan.
Do you want any formal action tonight, won't you?
I do not, no. I do not need any formal action. The last step that I'll take in the process is, based on your approval of the reorganization last May, is I will add a new position title of planning technician to our position classification plan, and then I will work with the planning director on the appropriate paperwork to take the incumbent that's in a senior administrative support position and move them into this new planning technician position.
Very good. Anybody got questions? Thank you, BD.
Great. Thank you very much.
Clay Hamilton.
Yes, sir. Mayor, at our last meeting, we approved some resurfacing project that staff, that the budget, the dollars budget is $475,000. The engineer's estimate was $538,000 plus, and the low bid was $694,000 plus. In doing so, we had to cut streets off of the project, and I think we're going to resurface about a mile and a half of town streets. I believe we have 99 miles of streets in the town that the town maintains. A mile and a half a year to take us 66 years to repave all the streets in town. And I say that sarcastically, but I say that if you got this pace, we're not going to be getting the job done. It's disappointing. I was very disappointed to see in the proposed budget that we didn't at least increase the estimate of what the engineer asked, what the staff estimated it would be. We're not even budgeting enough money for what staff's estimating to do the projects. So that's quite disappointing. We got to pave streets. Well, I mean, that's what people expect. They expect streets to be patched, repaired, and, you know, our public works does a good job. They maintain our town streets as best they can, patching. They do some work on some state roads. I mean, sometimes I send so many emails about Western Road to the public works, I'm sure they don't even read them anymore. They just go out there every week and just fill the same holes over and over. That's what happens. It's in such bad shape. Needs some major repair, but that's all our staff can do with the road. So I want us to send an email back about this. And I know that Matt had sent back something that staff had some proposals or some thoughts or alternatives or whatever. So I'd like to hear what staff has to do, because I want us to we cannot cut money to repay streets. I'll tell you, I read an article where I got it in here, just reviewed it. Look at what Kerry was doing. They can spend $7.1 million this year repairing and paving streets in town. And it's budgeted to be 5.3 through 2023. But the manager said that's not enough. We're not meeting the budget recommendations from staff. He said this is a structural budget issue that's got to be rectified, meaning they're going to spend millions and millions. And I know they have a lot more miles for more streets than we do, but it's $7 million, and we're talking about $475. Look at the difference of times. How many times, how many more dollars they're using on streets. We have to pay attention to this. This is what people expect. I mean, we're fortunate. Our streets are in good shape compared to a lot of towns I go through. Some are in better shape, some are in a lot worse shape. Anyway, I'd like to hear from staff and see what thoughts they have.
We had our plan was to cover street resurfacing tomorrow as part of the budget, but we can definitely talk about it now. We did budget only the $475. We had that in there before we even knew what the estimate was, and the budget came out before the bids came out. So, we did not increase it from there. We hope it's an anomaly. I'm sure prices are going up. Hopefully they're not going to continue to go up that much. But, there are some opportunities to try to fund it in other ways, as far as using maybe some pile bill. And Matt's, been talking to Public Works and has done a little bit of research on that. We use pile bill for resurfacing street and for equipment and then maybe some other things. And so, it's going to be a balance of trying to continue to do that and add to the street resurfacing. But we are aware that the prices look like they're going to start to go up and that we'll probably need to, allocate more toward it. One thing that we've been doing is we kind of budget the money in 1 year, and then by the time we get the bid done, we're almost into the next year before the work is get done. So we want to try to maybe align the allocation of the funds with the when the work is done. At this time of year, we're competing with DOT projects, and at one point we were trying to do them in the fall, but then you run into the winter time. But so if we wait till the spring, then we're at the mercy of the contractors, who probably have plenty of work and can just throw out whatever number they want. So some of it might be a timing issue, and some of it will be, just a better allocation of how we use our pile bill funds or fund balance or whatever other fund we try to put toward that. Matt, did you have anything you want to add to that?
I think that's a pretty good summary. I think there's the immediate question of, do we want to do something different with this contract this year, in which case you could look at the amount of money we have in reserve or fund balance in the Powell bill category or some other category if we want to increase it. I think you'd have to weigh whether you believe that we're paying a super premium price because of the bidding conditions, and therefore if we put some extra money towards it, perhaps our money's not going to go as far as it might in another year. On the other hand, we can't know for certain what the bids are going to look like next year and the year after. So, I mean, we can't say with certainty whether this is a good year or a bad year. But I think if you're talking about solving the problem for this contract this year, I think taking money out of the Powell reserve would probably be the most prudent option. I think you then get into a conversation about where do we want to be longer term. Some of the CIP pages that Mike gave you tonight start to show an annual increase to that $475,000. You may not have had a chance to look at them yet, but if you see that, you'll start to see in the future years that we're recognizing a need to incrementally increase it because prices go up, number of miles of streets we have may go up over time as we continue to build out and that kind of thing. There are There are certainly other options we can look at if we wanted to find additional revenue or reallocate some of the revenue we have. We could do that. But if you look at the amount of this year, we're getting about $745,000 from the Powell bill. So we could dedicate more than $475,000 to street resurfacing, but the rest of the balance of that money is going towards public works to pay for other street related work. And so if we take more of that $745,000 and put it towards a resurfacing contract, we still have an issue that we have to deal with in public works or be okay with lowering the service level that they're providing on that front. So I think there's a lot of moving parts. It's probably something that we need to talk more about, but that's the future part of the conversation. We can continue to do that. If you're talking about this contract tonight, I think you've got the issue of fund balance to increase it or not, because you don't want to pay that premium.
I think what we need to do with Powell bill is this. I'm going to ask this tomorrow. You can go ahead and I'll go ahead and ask it tonight. I want to break down line by line of what we spend Powell bill on in public works. And I'm not knocking public works, but if Powell bill is made for street resurfacing and making sidewalk and gutter repairs, I want to see if the bulk of that money focused on that. If you're using a piece of equipment mainly to repair that asphalt or whatever, fine. I don't think you should pay for a vehicle with somebody who's riding around on the street. I'm sorry. That's not a good use of the money. That's a use that's used for many other things, and you're taking that pot of money to use it for this. We have got to have a dedicated source of funding and to continually increase the carriers can put out bits of $7 million for street improvements. God knows how much Raleigh's can put out. So again, we're competing against these people. We tried in the fall to do it. You know, I don't think the price is going down. We're talking about Apple coming, Q2 for Amazon may come, this is going to come, that's going to come. It's not going to get any cheaper. It's just, I think we all realize that. It may not be that high, but it's not. I mean, engineer's estimate was $63,000 above the bid. It's not going to get any cheaper.
It wasn't too long ago we were doing $400,000 every other year, and then we switched it to $400,000 every year, and we put an escalator on it. So
I believe
inflation has just kind of caught up with us.
That one issue Public Works just told us it was. I remember hearing Paul Cox talk about it. I think I've heard Farrar say the same thing. The two things we got to look at with infrastructure are streets, taking care of streets, and stormwater. Stormwater things are aging streets. It's interesting that the bid for street packages, you got some streets that have been there 30, 35 years to get resurfaced, and you got some streets that have been there 20 years to get resurfaced. So I don't know if it's the quality of the work done at the time or whoever the contractor did it or whatever when that development went in. But, you know, that's not a good sign if that is something that holds up in the years. In the future, if that you can't get 30 or 35 years out of streets, you get 20 years. That's going to affect everyone. I would hope that's not the case. That maybe is the anomaly on one or two of these streets. But we'll have a discussion about it tomorrow. I don't want to have the council put us all in a situation we're going to see and say, we'll take it out of fund balance tonight. Let's talk tomorrow and get more about it. If we carry it to the work session next week and talk about it, if we meet there about the budget, we'll talk about it more then. But I just think we need to, you have to add, I mean, you showed where budgets are increasing in departments and staff cost increase, human resources, insurance, different costs always are increasing. We have a CPI into the contract with the solid waste folks. We got to do the same thing on roads. I mean, it's got to increase every year at an amount, whatever we so choose. But
I think we had a 5% maybe escalator. It was something like that, but we obviously need to make it more than that.
Have to be more than that.
We'll talk about it more tomorrow, right?
We'll talk about it more tomorrow and our long budget discussions. I appreciate staff and the council listening, because I think I talked to most of the people on the council, and I think most people feel the same concern that we got to address these street needs.
Okay, committee reports. Mr. Manager.
All right, you have in front of you in yellow the GARA info report. Basically just one page of items, so staff have been working really hard to keep those to a minimum and addressing them as quick as possible. Have a finance report in the back of your agenda packet there, and the building and permit report. That's fairly long. Some of it is rehab, but there's still, you know, a considerable amount of new residential and some commercial activity going on. So if you take a look at that, just wanted to report that the lights at Avery Street have been redone to make it brighter in that facility. So if you have a chance, or you know, if you're at an event, you should take take note of that and notice a pretty good difference there. And then to make you aware of a change that the town's going to make with its customer service and answering the phone. Right now, we went to direct line, so the public or outside person has the opportunity to call any one of us directly if they know our number. If not, we still kept our general number, and they were being funneled through the finance department, and they are getting a lot of calls. And so what we propose to do is create a phone tree where someone, when you make a phone call, it will give you options so that you can have the opportunity to go directly to the department that you're trying to reach, depending on, you know, whether it's, for example, a public works question or whatever, versus having the person answer the phone directly. It's a pretty short tree. It's not going to have the whole menu of every department, but just some of the main departments that get called fairly often, like Public Works, maybe Parks and Rec, and police, and some of the ones that have their own dedicated staff that, you know, answer the phone and answer a lot of these general questions. And then there's opportunity that, you know, if the person wants to reach someone sooner, they could always press zero and still get a live body. But this is just to facilitate the calls being spread around and not tax the limited finance department as much as possible. So just want to make you aware of that if you were to call in or someone's to call in, that you will see that change pretty soon. And other than that, that's all I have.
Mr. Attorney.
Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry. Just under committee reports, the HR committee comprised of Mr. Johns and myself met fairly recently, I can't remember which day it was, but anyway, it was sort of an organizational meeting. Interestingly enough, many of the people who serve on our advisory committees, when they finish a term, there's usually an option if they'd like to, in essence, re-up or serve another term, and many of our committee members are eligible to do that and want to do that, and so we don't have as many vacancies this year, but we will be, I think Rebecca's already sent out some information to prospective folks, particularly for, I believe it's in the Senior Advisory Committee. Seems like we have a perpetual opening for an outside person. Is it Board of Adjustment or Planning that we've struggled some to find a person who fits that outside of the town limits category? But anyway, We will be doing some interviews sometime within the next few weeks to fill the few positions that are vacant. I think that's all I have.
You turn it down. What you did, right?
Sir?
You got some
closed session. The council reports?
I thought you had closed
session. Oh, I did. Yes, sir. I asked for that, but we hadn't all done the council reports yet.
All right, Mr. Attorney, council, we'll start Ken.
I'm going to defer to others. I don't have any right now. Thank you.
Kathy.
Yes, sir. I just have two things. One, shout out to Public Works. I called, actually called Mr. Beasley about the median in North South Station on Garner Station Boulevard. Gotten to be about 3 feet tall, and there was some question about whose responsibility it was. But I made the call one morning last week, and by that afternoon, Public Works had made it look much better out there. So appreciate that, Forrest, and your fellows there getting right on it. And coincidentally, now that we're talking about street resurfacing, for the first time since I've lived in Garner, Penny Street is getting potholes. So we need to have Public Works go look at that, too. And that's all.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to mention Public Works also. A couple weeks ago, our solid waste container, when they emptied it, I had the old style, the metal frame. I had tighten it up, the nuts and bolts in there, I think, a couple times, so they got really loose. But the metal frame pulled through the plastic housings, and it was separate. So I emailed Public Works. I didn't call Forrest. I didn't make a special call. I just went through the website, left the message, stated our container might need to be either repaired or replaced. And that was on the weekend, because our trash is on Friday, and Monday afternoon we had a new trash container roll out there. So I want to thank them there on the ball. You can go through the email, just mention my address, thank them. And I've got the newer style container, which takes getting used to when you use the other one ever since they've been in Garner for 40 years or more. I can't remember. But anyway, It's kind of different, but anyway. So I want to thank Public Works for doing that. So they're electronically contacting them works and works pretty fast. So appreciate it. That's all.
Bo.
Yes. Boy, Forrest, you're on a roll tonight, fella.
That's why we're supposed to have each other.
Just a little bit. Yeah, was on Park
Drive today, and went across a place that I don't know whether it's a utility repair. It's one block off of Bandora Springs Road. It's beside about 1300, 1308 or something like that. Is that a City of Raleigh utility repairer, is that one of ours? Because it's, I know the owner on the side of the street that is adjacent to it had asked me about it some time ago, and I reported it a few months back, and I was of the opinion then it might have been utilities and not street, just under street maintenance.
I believe it is a utility repair.
Yeah, well, that's,
we'll look at it.
I didn't see another repair, so I felt like this was the same one that he called about. So if you would check on that, I'd appreciate it. That's all I have.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I have one other announcement. Our budget meeting tomorrow will be in the training room instead of in the council chambers here. So just wanted to make note of that.
All right.
Is it anticipated we'll be here?
I've asked that we go into a closed session for a personnel issue, talk over with the manager and the assistant managers per NC statute.
143.318.11A6.
There's no debate of the attorney.
All right, we're going into a closed session.
Okay.